Good morning. It's time for the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Good morning. My name is Dave Kabikian.
And good morning. I'm Jay Marie Schaefer.
Hi, Jay Marie. Jay Marie's back from Florida, by the way, John.
Florida, wow.
She brought some weather with her. It's coming.
It's coming Thank at you the end of the week, right.
It's very nice of you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Jay Marie and I are two of the attorneys at the Herzog Law Firm, and we're here, I was going to say every weekend, but not quite. Sometimes Jay Marie goes to Florida, and that's when we have Kim.
That's right.
Yeah.
But we're here every weekend, figuratively, talking about estate planning and Medicaid planning. There's a lot that goes into those two phrases. Everything from powers of attorney and healthcare proxies, wills, to trusts. What's a trust? Do I need a trust? Why do I need a trust? Etc. It's a call-in show, and you could reach us at 518-476-5900. And you could also visit us in the office up in Saratoga Springs, Clifton Park, main office in Albany, and then down in Kingston. Good morning, Jay Marie.
Good morning.
What's up?
Well, I think I learned yesterday that I just should not bowl, you know.
Well, it depends on what, I mean, you could bowl for fun. John, we had a bowling outing for the firm. And then
Bowling is fun. I mean, even if you're a lousy bowler, there's always a way to have fun. I'm a lousy bowler, and you know, I have arthritis in my wrist, and boy, I throw gutter ball after gutter ball, but still, it's fun.
What would be a score that you think would be worse than lousy?
Without a handicap?
Worse than
lousy? 50.
A 50. Jay Marie, what do you think of that? A 50. Maybe if she played like 7 games.
I mean, don't go by me, but I mean, yeah, that's a pretty lousy score, but you know, it's...
Well, she started with 4 straight gutter balls.
I did.
Okay, well,
it didn't get better from there.
No. Then I had a designated bowler.
I had a couple subs coming.
A designated bowler.
Listen, I, on the other hand, John, had the game of my life. I'm not... Really? I'm not good at bowling.
What'd you bowl?
190.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever had a 190. I've had a 188, but yeah.
I don't ever want to do it again. There's too many. Everyone's like, oh, you bowl all the time. I don't bowl all the time.
No, I'd
rather be.
Yeah,
you
had a good day.
Middle. Yeah.
Wow. That's great. It didn't inspire you to bowl anymore or join the league?
No, I'm all set.
That, huh?
I'm all set.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
It was fun. Everyone had a good time. We had a lot of kids running around.
Wow. 190.
Yeah.
Dave bowled a 190.
Okay, enough.
Tell everybody.
Let's move on as quickly as possible. So, Jay Marie, Kim was here last week.
Yes.
She was a wonderful sub for you. And we talked about what you think we would talk about, which was some home care ideas and how the definition of home care isn't just your home. It could be an ALP, or an assisted living facility that takes Medicaid. It could be your daughter's house or your son's house. It could be an apartment. It could be your own home you've owned for 60 years. And we didn't get to a topic that I really wanted to cover. And maybe it's fortuitous because I think that you're going to have a lot of very good opinions about this.
Okay.
So the topic that, you know, I would have her choose or you could choose, it's just one topic. It was the fine print. And here's the story. So an existing client came in and that client has a revocable trust. Okay. She's now in her 70s. Upper 70s, doing well, knock on wood. And she has a revocable trust, and she was coming in to just check on things, and she had a letter she wanted me to look at. So based on, you know, we do this a lot, and we know that if someone comes in and they did a revocable trust and they're of a certain age, it's probably because they have a lot of money or they have long-term care insurance, because otherwise they would do the other trust, right? The trust that protects your money. So presumably there's a reason they don't need to protect it. They have a lot, way too much of it, or they have insurance. So here it was the latter. She has long-term care insurance. Great. So she came in, and she's doing well. We covered all the bases. She still likes all the people she's leaving money to. Her agents are doing well. Everything's great. And she shows me this letter, and the letter was from her long-term care insurance carrier. And
I can only guess that it said there's an increase.
Well, it didn't say there's an increase.
Okay.
They said they're planning on there being an increase, and they're planning on asking the state to approve an increase of 250% on the premium.
Oh, my gosh. That's a lot.
And they're paying, she's paying $7,000 a year. She has an unbelievable plan.
On
she, has
the
a,
high end.
She has a lifetime. She's got, she's great.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I can't afford $24,000 a year for a premium. And I said, well, you're not going to have to because that's not going to happen.
Right.
I mean, I can't swear to it, but they're scaring you here. I've seen this letter before or versions of it. And it said, hey, listen, we're planning on doing this, but if you act now, Jane Marie, if you act now.
Right.
You can choose two
you
options.
You can get two for one on this.
Option one is you never pay us another dollar of premium ever again. And instead of having 3 years of coverage, you're going to have 2 years of coverage or 1 year of coverage, I think it was going to be. It was going to be a total amount of insurance of about $168,000. And you can say, well, that's a lot of money. That's 1 year, guys. 1 year in a nursing,
home,
is more. 15,000 times 12 is 180 grand. Okay. So she's going to take her coverage, which was a 3 year coverage, and make it one, but she doesn't have to pay a premium. There's no increase to 24 grand.
Right.
Or option B, they pay her. No more premiums. They'll pay her, and her lifetime benefits around $60,000.
Mm hmm.
Which is about, you know, 5 months in a nursing home.
Maybe. That's right.
Right. And the way they worded things, they weren't lying. Yeah, they may be planning on raising. I'm planning on a lot of things, too. I'm hopeful for a lot of things in my life, right? That doesn't mean it's going to happen.
Right.
But to someone who is, you know, in their 70s or in their 80s, and they're looking at this thing, and they're on a fixed income, right? The idea of a premium going from already expensive to 2.5 times expensive is crazy. So she said, what am I going to do? So we walked through it all, and we settled on, okay, she really is concerned. She's not going to be sleeping at night.
Mm-hmm.
So I think she's going to go with option one, which removes her premium.
Right.
Lowers her benefit to a year, and she does have some good income. And we said, all right, well, you know what? If we have these long-term care needs, we'll get it at home.
Right.
Hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe we don't need all that time in a nursing home where it's that high daily benefit, and that lifetime benefit maybe lasts us a really long time at home. But she's giving things up. She's giving up way more than she had paid in the past. Okay. But that's not it. That's not the only piece of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because she has a New York State partnership plan.
Oh, okay. That makes it all different.
That means that no matter what your benefits are, if it was 3 years on the back end of it, if you survived all that time, you are asset eligible for Medicaid. Fantastic. Well, so I look at this letter and the back pages of the letter and the fine print of the letter, and it says that if you change your plan, you will lose the partnership
coverage. Oh.
So she's going to lose a lifetime
of Medicaid,
of being qualified for Medicaid after her benefits. And I still think she's going to go through with this. And what we ended up with in terms of estate planning was we're just changing her trust to be the Medicaid trust.
Right.
To try to hedge our bets. We're hoping there's 5 really good years for her, or 5 not awful years. Because we got to look back. We got to get through now.
Right.
That she didn't have before.
Right.
Because she didn't need it. Because at the time she had long-term care insurance and it was rock solid.
And she thought she was made a good decision however many years ago.
Yeah, right. And maybe she did, maybe she didn't.
She did.
I mean, it's not to, you know, we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, with the trusts at least, we know if we get through the 5 years, we're good.
Right, that won't change.
It's not going to change.
Right.
Like your eligibility, right, the way it's worked in the past, there's a grandfathering in of things and so on. So that's a definite. And what I say to a lot of people who do have long-term care insurance, and I'm going to say to you, because you have long-term care insurance, is that when you're going to do a trust, if you decide I'm going to do a trust because I'd like to avoid probate and, you know, leave things the right way and whatnot, might as well do the trust that also protects, just in case you
just
get a
case.
Letter like this.
Right, just in case you don't want to keep your insurance, right?
Because you've had clients that have had different versions of that letter that say, you know, it's just saying the rate's going up 40%.
I've had lots of clients with that letter. It's the rate's going up and you have these choices, and it's either reducing the period of time, it's reducing the daily benefit amount. So yes, you can keep paying the same premium, but we're cutting your benefits. So.
Right. So if you're going to do a trust, do the trust that checks all the boxes, mm-hmm. if nothing else, just in case. And I actually remember having a version of this conversation with her on a previous check-in. And, you know, we're not trying to, you know, here, give us more money to change your trust for likely will be unnecessary.
Right.
Until you get that letter.
Right.
And that's a problem. And it's also just the way they worded it. It wasn't, we're increasing it. We're planning on asking the state of New York to improve an increase up to 250%. So there's a lot of caveats to that.
True, but it's scary to older individuals who've been paying this premium and relying on that, right?
Yeah. And, you know, when she got the policy, I'm sure that the carrier didn't think people would live so long, right? It was better math for the insurance company then.
And now people are living into their 90s, you know? Yeah. Up to 100, so.
People have, you know, we have 20-year-olds who have great grandmothers still alive, like your husband's grandmother.
Oh, by the way, I was way off on her age.
You must have been.
She's 97.
97.
Ooh. I was kind of stuck at 93. I don't know why I was, but.
Oh.
She's 97.
That's pretty good. I have a 97-year-old aunt.
Yeah. You got to report back.
She is doing fantastic. She remembered all of us. She just didn't really know our names.
Hmm.
But that's okay. She knew us. We had a great conversation, hung out with her. So she's living in an apartment and she has a home health aide there.
Oh, good for her.
So she's doing pretty well for 97.
I think that's fantastic.
Right.
If you have your wits about you.
Yeah.
I sign up for that. Did you ever do the egg challenge, by the way? We never got to talk to you about it.
I did not, because I wasn't anywhere where I could do that. Because I had to be at that specific time.
Right? Nowhere near an egg.
I was not near an egg at that time of day.
It's too bad. So, back to this long-term care insurance thing for a second, because I don't want anyone to think that we think it's a bad idea. In fact, I believe you've said previously you have long-term care insurance.
I do. Yes.
I've mentioned my folks have it. They have the partnership plan.
Right.
Fine. That's great. I mean, however you want to plan, but we do have to plan for, you know, that fine print, because all of those plans reserve certain rights for premiums to possibly go up.
Right.
And, you know, fortunately, you haven't gotten that letter yet, but people out there will at some point get it. And you're going to have a decision to make. And it's so much easier to make those decisions if you already have a trust that underneath the surface avoided probate and also happened to help you get Medicaid eligible.
That's right. I'm also going to take this in a slightly different direction to go back to Kim and her services. She can help you with your long-term care insurance policy.
Oh, yeah.
So I have a client who, they're elderly. The wife used to handle all the bills and she got dementia. And then she missed 1 month's premiums and the policy lapsed.
Oh, no.
And she's in an assisted living. Her husband's trying to figure things out.
Is this what Kim was dealing with while we were happily
yes.
bowling?
Yes.
Kim didn't make it to bowling because of this.
For a very good reason.
Well, she's a saint.
She is a saint. Wow. She went there and she's, it's not a simple phone call, you know, hey, okay, we'll reinstate the policy, send in a check. No, it's, Kim was on there Thursday afternoon for a couple of hours. She was on the phone with them. And then yesterday morning, she was on the phone with them, trying to help them through this process of getting the policy reinstated.
So any results yet or not yet?
She thinks that we'll definitely get the wife reinstated, which is great because she's the one who needs the services right now.
Right.
And can get payment. The husband, it's a question of whether, I think they have to get new medicals, and she's arguing against that. So,
oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
What a mess.
But, you know, managing that whole claims process is really difficult. And, you know, having someone like Kim is really great. She's been talking to the doctor's offices to get the diagnoses and sending it out to the company. So that's a really great service that she can do for you if you have a policy.
Yeah, I mean, she's not a community Medicaid care manager. She is a aging life coach, right? She does it all.
Right.
And even if it's finding the right assisted living that you're going to private pay at.
Yes, that's
right. Or services available in the county or the city or the town that you happen to live in. There might be little services out there that you could qualify for. I got another one for you, Jamarie, but we'll talk about it right after the break. We'll be right back with the second half of the Herzog Law Firm's Estate and Medicaid Planning Show right after this.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, West Harrison Street in Saratoga Springs, Executive Woods in Clifton Park, and 130 North Front Street in Kingston, our attorneys are here to help you. If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jane Marie, or Harry, please call us during normal business hours Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact us at our Albany office, call 518-465-7581. Our Saratoga Springs office, 518-581-8131. Our Clifton Park office at 518-952-4010. And our Kingston office at 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
Good morning, we're back. My name is Dave Kubikian.
And I'm Jamarie Schaefer.
In the first half of the show, Jamarie and I were talking about long-term care insurance and a particularly, well, a very, very specific fact pattern. So we're generally, long-term care insurance is great because if you need it, it's wonderful to have sources of payment other than your own money and savings, right? No doubt about that. What we were talking about, though, is sometimes these policies can send letters to their I guess policy owners that have premium increases or options about changing your policy to lower premiums, and the verbiage in there sometimes is problematic, Jamarie, especially when it's sent to someone who's getting up there in age and who might be scared with the headline and not read the details in the fine print. And even if it seems like a good deal, there might be some significant things you're giving up in that. So if you do have long-term care insurance, you get one of these letters, please give us a call in the office and come in to talk about it, because it may be then that you decide to do a trust or change the kind of trust that you have.
That's right.
Last week, Jamarie, I was talking about how I'm trying to come up with a bunch of different Beatles song titles that I could spin into long-term care type things. And so for last week, for Home Care Everywhere, it was Here, There, and Everywhere, which is a Beatles song. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole list of them because, I mean, there's like the Long and Winding Road. They're all bad news, right? The Long and Winding Road.
That sounds kind of bad. Right.
Carry That Weight, I think, is, you're right?
Yeah.
You Never Give Me Your Money. Yeah. Good one. Here Comes the Sun, that's a good one.
Yeah.
And obviously Help with an exclamation point. That's So there's one song that I want to talk about today, and it's the opposite of the song. So it's the song Feeling Better by the Beatles. You know the song, John, right? Feeling Better.
Getting Better.
Getting Better. Excuse me. Getting Better.
Getting Better, right. From Sgt. Pepper.
Yeah. Yep. So it's Getting Better. Jeez, I screwed that up. So I got to admit it's getting better. It's getting better all the time.
Getting better all the time.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going the opposite way.
Oh, okay.
It's never, or it's rarely getting better.
Oh, no. Jamarie.
It's usually only going to get worse.
That is a pessimistic thing for
it is.
This early in the morning.
On a sunny Saturday morning. Well,
that's right.
Welcome to the Herzog Law Firm State and Medicaid Planning Show, everybody. Well, and the reason why I wanted to say that and bring up is a very specific scenario. We have a client whose mom is in assisted living. She cannot stay in assisted living. It's probably 95% that she can't stay. And there's already an application in one nursing home in Rensselaer County, and I gave her a couple names of some other facilities in Albany County to check out. And I said, listen, while you're picking between these different places, if you're sure she's got to go somewhere, let's start the Medicaid application.
Right.
And she said, well, I don't really know yet. I think I want her to know where she's going first. And I said, first of all, there's 5 years of look back. There's a lot of work we got to do.
It doesn't
happen overnight. It's going to be important for you to be able to say to a facility that you could be Medicaid pending, or that you might be private paying a couple of months, but to know exactly what the lay of the land is.
Or to say you're Medicaid approved. That helps.
Or Medicaid approved.
Right.
Medicaid eligible. You know, Herzog Law Firm's doing our app. XYZ Law Firm is handling this application because the facilities know the firms that do these, and they have better confidence on stuff. But we also might find out some not so good information about transactions that happened in the past. And we want to take advantage, if we're going to private pay a nursing home, we want it to be worth something. We want to take mm-hmm. advantage of right. maybe a penalty period and have every dollar we spend be worth it. But also because it's not going to get any better for
right.
her mom.
Right.
She's
mm-hmm.
not going to get younger.
Right.
She's not going to all of a sudden be fine in the assisted living where the mm-hmm. assisted living is saying she can't stay here anymore.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I got to like nudge her a little bit. Hopefully she's listening mm-hmm. to the radio because mm-hmm. sometimes you just have to act, you know, like sometimes you just need to give someone mm-hmm. a nudge and just so they do the thing that they obviously have to do.
Right. You need to look at the 5 years of records, right? To see if there's any issues. And we have found out many times the clients and their families say, no, there were no gifts. No, there were no gifts.
Listen, there are gifts.
And there were gifts.
There were gifts.
And
or,
now we have a penalty that we have to deal with, right?
Or the property was transferred. No, it wasn't. This account has been is a joint account. We don't have to worry about it. Well, right. it's all of mom's money. It's none of your money. So right. the way Medicaid looks at things isn't exactly the way that we look at things in life.
Right.
Sometimes people confuse it's an account that has a beneficiary or is joint. It's avoiding probate as mm-hmm. somehow helping in our Medicaid fact pattern. It does not.
Right.
Unless it's
mm-hmm.
in the right kind of trust, as an example.
So it's like a pre-screening, pre-eligibility checkup, right?
For sure. And I said, listen, you know, because these applications aren't cheap. I said, you know, let us at least send you authorizations. Let's send out these authorizations to banks to get 60 months of records on everything. Mm-hmm. Let's take a look at it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, no matter where she goes, no matter what county she goes to, we're going to need to know this information.
Right.
Even if you don't use our firm later on, mm-hmm. you're going to need that information. Let us at least ask for it. It's going to take weeks and weeks to get it mm-hmm. from the banks.
I do have another client that we did that on. She's not going in the nursing home, but she has a lot of accounts. She moved here from another state a couple of years ago, so we may not have a handle on those accounts. So we did the 5-year review. So we're all ready to go, you know, when she goes to a nursing home, but we wanted to know all of that information now.
Sure, and if... You know, sometimes, so here's the other thing that came with that conversation. So mom's got about $130,000. And we know now 30, the numbers are mm-hmm. are in, right? You could have $30,000 and still qualify. So she's got 100 too much.
Right.
She was given advice by a non-attorney who does not represent her mom in any way.
Mm-hmm.
That, what you do is you just go, you will apply for Medicaid. You'll go apply for Medicaid when you're down to about 40 grand or so.
Oh, no.
Right. And I said, no. I mean, you do that if you want to lose the $90,000 that you just went through and then you want to only be left with 40. Yeah, no, and that's sure what you want to do. But if you want to protect the money or save money or be proactive, you don't do that. You go talk to an elder law attorney.
Right.
And, you know, we do a loan and gift plan to save half the money and do this and do that. And so number one, please just take advice from the elder law and estate planning attorneys that you consult with who know all the details.
Right.
But in the fact pattern, we know what happened in the last 3 years because mom has been around her daughter. But the mm-hmm. previous 2 years, she was with her son down in Florida.
Okay.
And we don't really know the financial picture during that time. We know there was an aid being paid for at times. I don't know if there were monies given to the son to thank him for his services. Mm-hmm. I don't know what accounts were moved. This woman's husband passed away in the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't realize, Jamie, we need the husband's 5 years of records too.
Right, we do.
So there's a lot of things we want to know about because if it turns out there were transfers done,
mm-hmm.
let's say there were $100,000 of transfers done. Well, I need to know right now because I have this extra 100 grand.
Right.
So I can actually use that extra 100 grand to make up for whatever happened in the past.
That's right.
I just need to know about it.
Right.
So if I don't know about it mm-hmm. and we, you know, finally apply and then we find out there's this long look back period mm-hmm. that comes with a penalty, excuse me, we're going to start private paying without getting credit for it.
Right.
Which
or they may have spent down already, not have the money anymore. to offset the penalty period.
Correct.
Right. So it could be disastrous.
So, you know, a couple weeks ago, we've talked about how for home care, sometimes people wait until they really need it, which mm-hmm. Makes sense, but it doesn't make sense when you see all the details of how home care works. You really want to get it going early. Similarly, we want to know the bad news as soon as possible, right? When clients come in and they say, yeah, my dad fell and this happened and that happened. Now he needs a nursing home, let's say. Mm-hmm. And they just know about a couple accounts he's got, but they don't know the past. Mm-hmm. It's really, you know, who knows what we're about to find out. And if there are those large transfers or even small transfers that add up, we kind of need to know about it, right? It's all very technical in terms of what we're going to do and what we're going to encourage our clients to do in terms of the plan.
That's right. You have to be careful with nursing homes. So I had a client this week who came, well, he didn't come in. Mike got a call from Rensselaer County.
I heard about this.
Yes, the nursing home applied for him on his behalf without him agreeing or consenting, right?
So John, get this.
Really? Now, I knew that they would do something like that, but not without permission.
Well, so they applied, and the county received the application. They had to deny it because of some rather obvious problems.
Yeah, they can't just willy-nilly go out and say, oh, let's apply for this guy and not tell him.
But is it he or she?
We're dealing with the husband. The wife's in the nursing home.
Okay. Right. So the wife wasn't going to qualify, just the way the numbers shook out. There's no way, right?
No. Yeah.
Things need to happen.
Right.
And the county saw this application and called us to say, hey, you really need to talk to this person.
That's right.
What's going on.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay, that's good. If the county did that.
Yeah, no, that was great. Yeah.
When Medicaid starts calling the law firm, telling them to step in, you know it's bad and you're doing something right.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, the other thing this nursing home did, which he was really upset about, is they applied to be the rep payee. So the rep payee means that they would directly get the wife's Social Security payments.
Oh.
Which, again, he didn't agree to.
Well, there are things like spousal budgeting and things we could do with incomes that may not have applied in this fact pattern, but we always want to have all the income go to the client, and then we'll abide by Medicaid's decision as to what income needs to be spent.
That's true, and sometimes maybe it makes sense to let the nursing home get it directly, but they jumped ahead quite a few steps by doing that.
Yeah, and again, the counterweight to that, I'm sure there's plenty of times where the nursing home is really doing a great service to the client who was, mm-hmm. you know, doesn't have a lot of money. They're going to easily qualify, and they'll handle all the paperwork. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is there's those other fact patterns where we know the application is dead on arrival at mm-hmm. Medicaid,
right?
Because they have more than $30,000.
That's right.
Right, or their joint accounts or whatever, what have you. So, very interesting.
Very interesting.
Is that the county that Mike used to work in?
It is.
Okay. So Mike, one of our paralegals, used to be one of the reviewers at Department of Social Service, John. So now he does, it's like your IRS auditor doing your taxes now.
Yeah. That's the person you want to do your taxes.
Exactly.
Yeah, it is. Oh, yeah.
Or your Medicaid application.
Right. That's great.
I got to think of some more Beatles titles here, Jamie. I like it. Maybe some more uplifting ones.
Yeah, let's try for
it's
some
tough
uplifting
because they,
ones.
Their titles are all over the place, John.
They have a lot of titles to choose from, and you got about a minute to do it, so let's hear it.
I think next week we'll talk about Carry That Weight.
Caregiver-centric
there, because that's that's one of the hidden costs to the long-term care equation. There's always a financial aspect to things, but the caregiver and the
burden on the caregiver.
The weight.
It's the burden, right?
It's tough. Mm-hmm. It's tough. And, you know, it's better than a nursing home, most people would say, until they go through it day to day, every day, all day, week after week, month after month.
Without a break. Yeah.
Yeah, it becomes difficult. And the good news is there's help out there.
There is.
You just need to know where to find it.
That's right. Have a good weekend. Happy Easter.
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you'd like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581, the Saratoga office at 518-581-8131, or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.